just getting started, I'd really like to express our heartfelt wishes to the people of Calgary and Alberta, and you know, obviously anywhere that the flooding might be affecting. Certainly a very trying time for them, but we know that they'll persevere, and our thoughts go out to you know, the Calgary Flames as well, obviously with the issues with their building moving forward. As we get started here, I'm pleased to announce that we've agreed to terms on a contract extension with Claude Noel. It's a one-year extension, and as Scott you know, indicated, you know, some of the traveling things that will be coming up into play. You know, Claude's traveling right now, but he'll be available later on in the day to discuss. But he's traveling, making his way slowly to the draft. And with that, I'll open it up to questions. Obviously, it's an exciting time. I guess if you guys aren't going to ask questions, I'll bring it on to ourselves here. But yep, I've got the microphone going there. I appreciate it. It'll take a little time here. So, you know, certainly from a draft perspective, looking forward to heading out as an organization. We'll be leaving for the draft on essentially Wednesday. So, as Scott indicated, some travel restrictions and different timelines that playing with here as well. Go ahead.
Mitch Peacock, CBC Television. Kevin, I'm just wondering about the decision to extend Claude. Can you tell us the procedure, the process, what went into it, why it was a good decision for the organization?
Well, obviously at the beginning of the off season here, when we started our evaluation process, it was a very extensive process involving numerous different aspects of the organization. We met extensively with the coaching staff. We met extensively with different facets of the operation as well. And you know, as we continued to move forward, you know, it became very clear that this group of coaches worked extremely hard under some difficult circumstances at different points in time. You know, that we do have areas of a team that you know, we're hoping to continue to grow and to improve upon, and that you know, this group deserves the opportunity to continue the job that they've been doing.
You just mentioned there are some areas that you'd like to grow upon. Is there any hope that you can address some of those with the draft?
Well, the draft is going to certainly allow for some, you know, long-term building with respect to getting more prospects in the organization, creating more assets within the organization. But we're also looking at other areas and trying to you know, improve. If there's some different options on the trade front, you know, certainly try and be active in those regards if things do fit. Obviously, there's some young players that we're hoping will take the next step, you know, into our organization, or at least be knocking on the door in those regards. So, you know, again, the process of improving will have, you know, several different looks, but the draft is certainly a good indicator on how you can get things started.
Paul Friesen from The Sun. Back to your coach for a second. Yeah. Could you comment on the term? Why just 1 year?
Well, again, it's a process of continuing to grow as a group. I think that, you know, it's something that we've discussed. You know, the term wasn't something that we focused on, you know, too dramatically when I had my conversations with Claude. It was, you know, again, it was about continuing the process moving forward. And I don't know that there is a magical term. You know, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, you've seen different things. You know, from different situations, and this is the right fit for us, we felt, going forward. We will be talking to their assistant coaches as well, and haven't begun that process yet, but we'll continue to go down that process of offering the extension to them as well.
Kevin, Kelly Moore from CJOB, you mentioned growth. Are there one or two areas in particular that really stood out as positives that would lead you to make this decision with Claude?
Well, growth from individual players. I think you've seen some you know, some young players that you know, are starting to come into their own as far as very impactful players. A player like Evander Kane initially comes to mind. You know, certainly how he's played. You know, over the course of the 2 years, you know, under Claude, I think Andrew Ladd is the leader of the team. I think you know, Claude and him have a good working relationship, and I think the opportunities that Andrew's had to grow as a leader. And you know, to continue to flourish both you know, as a leader from the dressing room standpoint, but you know, as far as a player on the ice as well, continuing to grow. You know, other areas, you know, look at Zach Bogosian, you know, the job that the staff has done there with essentially a young defenseman still that is continuing to get better and become more of an impact. With the opportunity to have some young players on the horizon and knowing, you know, Claude's ability, you know, to work with young players and to help develop them, that was, you know, a strength when, you know, when we did hire him that, you know, again, came to the forefront. So there's a lot of different aspects that you can talk about from growth. But again, there's a lot of areas that we need to improve, and we talked about that at the year-end, I guess, press conference, and certainly Claude and I have had very numerous conversations, you know, about a lot of different scenarios that of the last year and obviously of the past year. But then we turned our focus, you know, quite quickly towards the future and continuing to work together to find ways to get the Jets to continue to improve as a group as a whole.
Kevin, Joe Piscucci, Global Sports. A couple of questions, if I can. One on Claude Noel. Do you feel that going into this season, this is the true opportunity to evaluate the job that he's doing? Because the first year you had the team coming back to Winnipeg, the second year you had the shortened NHL season, and this season you're going to have a full 82 games with no distractions going into camp. And the second question would be, what is the latest you can tell us on your negotiations with some of your restricted free agents?
Well, to answer your first question, again, the process of evaluation is something that's ongoing, and you have to sometimes take a step back and remove the emotion, you know, of what happened in the past year. And, you know, obviously at the end of the year, everybody was certainly very emotional with how things ended, how we got close, but, you know, obviously not close enough to get in. So I think by taking some time, you do reflect on a lot of different things. Again, the conversations are always very good to hear the staff and to hear, you know, when you talk to the coaches about their perspective and what they saw, what they think of the group, all those things, you know, come into play. So, you know, again, it is an opportunity. They're very excited, obviously, as most coaches, you know, would be chomping at the bit to have their coaches' meetings in midsummer to start planning, to start seeing what the eventual roster, you know, will look like. And again, it's that's the process that goes, you know, over the course of time of the summer. With respect to your second question, again, very busy time with respect to the negotiations of all the RFAs. We have reached out to all the RFAs, different respective agents and groups. A lot of you well know that already because in my conversations I hear that you guys have reached out to a lot of them as well too. So, you know, each one of those, to go through every individual, you know, negotiation isn't something that I, you know, that I do on great length, but they're all going to be very different. Some are going to be different terms. Some are going to be shorter terms. Some are going to be longer terms. At least that's the approach that, you know, seems like some of these might go at this point in time. You know, there's lots of different factors that come into play. There's obviously money, there's term, there's where the person's at in free agency, where they're at in their respective careers, where they think they're going to go in their respective careers too. So it'll be busy to say when they're all going to get done. It's hard to say at this point, but needless to say, there's still a lot of work ahead on a lot of different fronts there.
Kevin, just a couple questions as well, just starting with that. There's been so much talk about how people are anticipating this to be a very active next week across the NHL with teams trying to get underneath the cap. You've mentioned that you have a number of spots to fill right now or vacancies on the roster just with all of your free agents. Do you anticipate this being a busy next, you know, 10 days, let's say 14 days leading up to free agency for the Jets?
I think it'll be busy on a lot of different fronts. We do have a lot of picks. Which has certainly been something that we focused a great deal of attention on within the meeting aspect of things. From an amateur scouting staff, tremendous emphasis was put on that throughout the entire season. And, you know, as you continue to move forward to the draft, there's, you know, there's obviously anticipation from that group with the opportunity to have the number of picks that we've had. I have told that group, the amateur scouting staff, that we may not be drafting all those players because if there's an opportunity to use one of those assets that we've accumulated to find a player that that fits both contractually and financially, then, you know, we're going to try and make that happen. So I guess from the activity standpoint, that is another aspect. Again, from a draft perspective, we're drafting 13th, which is, there's actually surprisingly opportunities to move or potentially to move in both directions. There's teams that have contacted me that have below us that have asked if we would move down in the draft and certainly looked at different assets in those regards. But my focus from standing here right now would be to see if there's an opportunity to move up in the draft. If the right kind of player was there, and if we had the assets that could work, to move from 13, into a very high pick is a very difficult thing to do. But there's different ways that you could potentially, go about doing that. And I guess finally, the traditional trade market is something that could be very active as well. I think a lot of teams are trying to really figure out where everybody's cap. Situations are going to be vis-a-vis, compliance buyouts, different rules now with respect to putting guys in the minors, the amounts of money that you can put down there. So it's a little bit of, kind of wait and see how everybody is going to do their business, in those regards. So I guess just to, from a compliance buyout standpoint, we don't have anybody that we are compliance buying out. If that was a question that someone had, sorry to steal your thunder.
And just finally, there was a report recently that speculation about Dustin Byfuglien and his weight and whether or not he's around 300 pounds and whether or not he was now untradeable. Just your reaction to that report and whether or not there's any validity to it.
Well, certainly the reports are always going to be out there at this point in time in the summer. I think, again, we've tried to make a comment or a habit of not commenting on Twitter rumors or anything that come up to play. I think last summer we were talking about this situation, and, this summer it seems we'll be talking about it. And you know what, if, I can venture a guess next summer we'll be talking about it as well. But, again, Buff is a very unique player. There's no question that he is has the size that a lot of players and a lot of teams would covet in this league, with respect to the push to get a bigger player, a harder player to play against. It is something certainly that again, I could see where teams would have interest. I could see where rumors do start. But it is, again, it's not something that I've contemplated or something that, I've talked about, in great detail with any other team about trading him. So I can't really speculate on the untradeable rumors if it's something that I haven't really, focused on, getting to that point.
When September rolls around, you've been through your free agents and, contracts and draft and everything. How, if at all, do you want your roster to look any different from it is right now?
Well, I think by its very nature, there's the sheer number of players that are potential unrestricted free agents this year and going to the market, or maybe some of them will be back. That remains to be seen. We are, I guess, hoping that, again, at some point in time, younger players can start to transition into our lineup and make impacts. And, certainly that there's the opportunities there for Mark Scheifele and Jacob Trouba and others to come in and make an impact and make an impression. But again, these are all things that are going to have to be earned. I think between now and September, there's, going to be a lot of different opportunities to evaluate, to see exactly what is available out there and what the options are, whether it's free agency or trade. Those things still need to unfold as far as being able to really, really say what it might look like. Again, it's something that we've been open about it. We'd love to find another forward somehow to be it by trade or be it by free agency to come in and play in the top end of our lineup. But having said that, I think there's probably several other teams that would like to do that as well. And it'll be something that we're going to have to compete for as well. On the UFA side of things, we have had some discussions with some of our pending unrestricted free agents. Some of them will end up going to market, but that's not to say that they may not be back. But, again, I think you know, going back to you know, to Sarah's question, there's just so many different things right now that you know, could present themselves, and we have flexibility. We have flexibility in number of contracts. We have some flexibility in you know, some you know, some room on the cap side of things. But again, the major focus right now is making sure that we do lock up our RFAs and are working hard at doing that, and we'll see where things go from there.
Kevin, a bit of a two-part question here. The first part of that is your post-draft comments the last 2 years, it seems like you had Scheifele and Trouba earmarked. So if that's the case, I know you won't share the identity of the player, mm-hmm. but do you have a player earmarked this year that you really, really want to have and you think is reasonable to get at the number 13 pick?
Well, with Scheifele, actually, it was a little bit of a different. I think we felt that, you know, if he was going to be available at that time, you know, that was given a group of guys that our scouts were very, very, you know, very, very high on his potential upside in the long run. With Trouba, quite honestly, never anticipated that he was going to be there at that point in time. And, you know, while we had him internally, you know, rated higher, the opportunity to draft him wasn't something that that we, you know, anticipated actually having. So having said that, you know, that was at 9 and 7 respectively. At 13, I think there's the interesting thing there is that I think once you get beyond a certain point, you know, obviously everyone's talked about the big, you know, the first couple of guys, maybe the top 3 or top 5 or, you know, depending, you know, who you're talking to, whatever. I think that's when the uncertainty and the volatility really will start to happen. And, you know, to predict who's going to be there at 13, I think, you know, like one of the exercises that we do all the time internally, you know, is mock drafts, you know, and you talk about it as what you think that other teams might want, you know, what you think that they're going to do and who you think is going to be available at your point in time. And as you get deeper and deeper, you know, 13 and certainly below, again, there's a tremendous amount of unpredictability. So I honestly don't know who's going to be there. You know, again, we have a group of guys that, you know, we think could be there. And so we've kind of beaten them up internally quite a bit. We will go through a second round of interviews with a lot of these players physically at the draft again, even though we have interviewed quite a few of them at the combines already, and certainly our scouts throughout the year independently, you know, interview them as well. So, you know, as far as are we targeting someone at this point, there's a group of guys that we think are there, and but I think the unpredictability of the draft, how it unfolds, that'll be the true determining factor of how hard or what the availability or the possibility of trying to move up, be it a spot to, you know, however many spots, you know, depending on what the other teams do above us.
And because of the unpredictability and the depth and what you have available to you as assets, mm-hmm. is the second round this year almost as important as what you guys do in the first round?
You know, it depends. There's no question that the second round is extremely important, you know, from that standpoint, whether we choose to draft them or whether we choose to, you know, use the picks in some other form of currency. The hardest part is, you know, I guess you'll see, and if you do some, I guess, draft analysis to try to, you know, it just depends how many, you know, picks you try and move up. If you're going to try and move up in a draft as to, you know, what the currency, you know, has to be. So those things, even though you can look at historical values, it's hard to predict what's going to happen on the floor. You see a lot of different things. I think, you know, anytime you try and talk to a team about moving up a substantial amount, the first thing they want is a roster player. You know, then maybe it goes to draft picks and stuff like that. So, but that's the, you know, that's the different, you know, art of negotiation. Like even last year, we talked about the potential of moving up, and we had, you know, some substantial discussions with, you know, with the team. But the team that even was willing to talk about that, but they said, yeah, that's all fine, well and good. But if the guy I want is there, I'm taking him. You know, so you can, you know, again, it just depends on what the other teams are looking for, you know, in those fashions as well.
Just to clarify, are you trying to move into the top 3 or 5, or is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm trying to move up. You know, I think, you know, again, you know, I guess as high as potentially possible, you'd like to. But, The realities are, I think a lot of teams are making those calls right now because of the unpredictability. And the farther you go down in the draft, I think then you start to determine whether moving up or potentially finding your guy at a later pick and moving down are different options as well. But again, to say that there's a strong likelihood we will move up, that's premature to say right now. To say that we're exploring different opportunities, certainly we're making those kind of calls.
And have you informed any of your pending UFAs that they are not part of your plans?
We've talked to Grant Clitson's, group. I've talked to Montoya's group, with respect to at least keeping them in the loop where we're at with respect to, their services. I've had some conversations with different agents as well, with the individual players that some of those guys might test, free agency, guys like Ronnie Hainsey and stuff like that. I think that, it may take a look at, the free agent route as well. But that's not to say that at the end of the day, those other guys, could not fall back into consideration here, just depending how things, do shake out. We parted the season on good terms with a lot of those guys. I think, the work and the time that they've put in here has certainly been greatly appreciated. But we are going to look at other options, for some of these guys to see if there's a chance for long-term solutions that fit into our group. Just trying to think who else that I've specifically talked to that I could, enlighten on. Again, there's some guys I think that, as time goes on, could fall into play. But as far as right now, the only two guys that we've actively potentially talked to about initially coming back have been Montoya and Clitson.
I'd like to bring it back to Claude for a moment. 1 year contract isn't very long. I'm wondering what motivated simply
1 year extension.
1 year extension. Sorry. What simply motivated that? If it's instead of extending him longer, the expectation now is to make the playoffs next year.
The expectation from the beginning has always been to try and make the playoffs. That hasn't changed. That hasn't been something that's been wavered upon. The situation presents itself right now to continue with the group of staff that we have. Again, we're still a young franchise when it comes to where we're at with a lot of different aspects of the organization. There is going to be a tremendous amount of change by nature this year, just based on the number of free agents that are potentially. That were on our roster last year. There's going to be changes when it comes to the RFA side because, again, some of these guys that were on one-year deals, may be locked up for longer term and solidified as part of our core moving forward. So we are still in our infancy when it comes to, trying to build for the long term. And as a staff here, we're going to continue to grow moving forward. And, I think a lot of times, the contracts and the term and the length of coaches and that, maybe gets blown out of proportion. I stood here at the end of the season and everyone asked me, basically what was going on. I said Claude was under contract, for our team. But and at no point in time there was I, indicating that he was going in any other direction. But certainly, everyone wanted to try and take the next step. And you deal with what's right in front of you. And the coaching staff right now has got an extension to move forward beyond this season. That's something that we all feel comfortable with.
Two things. Could you talk regarding Burmese Strafe? He obviously had kind of an up and down season, and there was some turmoil. Could you talk where things go with his negotiations from here? And the second thing is, some of your older RFAs in that core group, that older core of like Wheeler, Little, how long are you looking in terms of contract length and things like that to go with them?
Well, again, I'm not going to get into individual specifics as it relates to any one particular free agent. RFA, UFA, again, when you do negotiate these deals, there's different pressures, there's different parameters that fall into play with each and every one of them. Some of them are closer to UFA, and at which point in time there's different thoughts or opportunities that might present themselves. And then, again, some guys are farther from from UFA. So again, there's different opportunities for term length there. So to get into any one particular player or specific situation, is not something that I'm prepared to talk about today. Burmese, one of our RFAs as well, and falls into that same category.
Kevin, Jeff Kerbison from the Free Press. Since the team relocated 2 years ago, it has always been the Jets of the present, but the future has belonged to the Thrashers. It's been the Thrashers' future. They've been all their draft picks. How long a process is it until you feel this is your blueprint and it's the Jets' future we're looking at?
Well, I think you've seen where we've had the opportunity to sign several players from the first draft as far as the Jets go. I think obviously Mark Scheifele, but Adam Lowry now is someone that has turned pro. So that process takes some time when it comes to the prospect selection, the players that you draft on draft day. Again, several of them are still in college from that first group. I think you slowly start to see those players coming into your organization, the type of players that, again, when you sit down and talk to your scouts and talk about your philosophies on a player, on what you want, what aspects you want in a player, those things take time. And our first draft, we really didn't get an opportunity even to sit down with our scouts and really impart those kind of things. The list, for all intents and purposes, was pretty much in place at that point in time, and you can discuss some generalities. But moving forward, you start to have some core beliefs and some core philosophies on the drafting, on the type of player, the type of character, those kind of things, and you start to put those forward in your drafting process. Again, from the signing side of it, the free agent market is not something that is easily to build upon. Again, there's several guys always in the free agent world that get the multi-year deals, the impact players. And then, unfortunately, the market kind of stops for quite a while, and there's a tremendous fall off with respect to, where players are in their careers, and the impact that they can actually make, on your teams, in extremely important roles. So the free agent market is something that is not the easiest and the quickest way, to try and make something, happen. So as far as trying to change and turn things over, at this point in time, we don't really talk about, the past. You talk about the future, and you talk about the group of players that are here. You talk about building your own culture. I think the culture that is being developed here is one that, certainly begins with passion, and passion from an ownership group. Passion from a management group, passion from a coaching staff, and without question, passion from a fan base. And one thing that has been interesting, I guess, if I can talk a little bit about some of the negotiations that that are ongoing, is that there is some opportunity to potentially get some term for some players. We've seen it where we've signed guys like Pavlik, and we've signed Enstrom, and we've signed Ladd, players that are willing to come here and have term on their contract and help build and help believe in what's being built moving forward. We're hopeful that some of the RFAs that we're talking about here are going to lock in for a period of time and get some term on their deals, and that's when your core starts to get established. When you have your development camp and you bring in your drafted players and you bring in maybe some potential unrestricted free agent, free agent players, either from college or from junior, that's when you get an opportunity to show them your culture, to show them your organization. These are things that we haven't had the opportunity to do in the past on at great length. And I know when you go to sign or try to sign a college free agent, again, you're spending a lot of time educating them, about the marketplace, about the team and the organization. So hopefully now, if you have some younger guys coming in here, You know, in those regards at development camp, you can expose them to all those kind of things. So there's many, many, many facets to how you go about trying to change, you know, a culture of an organization that, you know, is something that you're building for the long term.
Thanks. One more quick one. You've been pretty adamant about your plan to build the team through the draft all the way through here with the odd dabbling in free agency. What's the relative bottom line, though? What's the relative impact on the bottom line from this strategy as compared to a lot of other teams that are less focused on the draft?
I guess I don't really quite understand what you mean by bottom line. Like, ultimately, you know, the goal...
It's a lot cheaper to build a team, or inexpensive, isn't it, to build a team through the draft for the long term than it is to try and with a quick fix.
Well, again, I think that you go with what opportunities are presented. I think you've seen this organization make long commitments to players like Evander Kane, who are young players that command a great deal of financial wherewithal and certainly a great deal of commitment from a term perspective. Again, the National Hockey League, I don't know that there's anything that you can say you can do on the cheap, when it comes to building a roster. It's something that you either have to be in with both feet or, you're in the wrong league. But that's not to say that you just throw, money at different things to try and say, well, look what we're doing. Again, you want to make sure that you're not in a situation where, you have to do certain things in order to make another thing happen. And what I'm saying is that we're sitting here in a situation right now where we have, several big key restricted free agents that if we were hampered by money availability in the cap, with the cap going down, or term for different reasons, it would be difficult to try and at least approach these players with our thoughts and with our concepts. So, we are building, a long-term organization, and we're trying to keep a core of players in here for that long term, and try and keep pushing with younger players coming in, to support that cast. And, there's no question that, there's lots of opportunities here for younger players or for other players to come in and take us to the next level. It's, we have to find them. And whether it's finding them through the draft or finding them through trades or finding them through waivers or finding them through different opportunities, you try and do whatever you can.
Kevin, you mentioned earlier about the fact that you'd like to move up, and so would other teams like to move up in the draft, and that always the GMs ask for a player on your roster. Is there any player that you currently have under contract or some of your RFAs that you wouldn't consider trading, or is everybody available for the right deal to move up?
Well, I think if you are, truly, open to trying doing anything, I think you would explore anything, when it comes to, trying to make a trade. The realistic thing is that, we want to build through some stability as well. And I think that, players that want to be here, are something that, we want to make sure that we continue to build with those kind of players. So to the extent that, there's different opportunities to trade, if someone comes, you're always looking, but to move up in the draft, it's a unique situation. Like, a lot of things have to fall into the right place, and again, to move up might be moving up one spot. It just depends what's up above you, but that's not to say you don't explore, you don't have the conversations, and the flip side of it is we're doing the same thing too. There's other players that we as a staff feel, if we targeted, can we try and make a deal there as well? And, again, it's something that for every 10 calls you make, something might not come out of it. But the 11th call might be the one that, is something that, that makes sense for both sides.
Kevin, with the 13th pick, are you looking at any particular position? And also... a lot of people wondered about the decision not to offer Zach Ewan a deal. Can you comment on that?
Well, I guess the first thing is that with respect to position, I think there's a group of guys that we, potentially think are going to be in that range, and depending on the. Depending on the type of player that might be there, I would say that the best bet is that we're going to go with the best player. But I guess depending on how close we think that best player is. You know, if you've got a range of players that you know are really, you know, 13 A, B, and C when it comes to you know, availability for the draft, then you know I think you'd certainly look at you know at the key, you know, positions, you know, center and defense. Those are always something that you can never have enough of, and you know you obviously you know covet from the building perspective of a team. But you know, having said that, you know, sometimes you can outsmart yourself too if you think that you're going to you know, target something just simply because of position, because 2 years from now or 1 year from now or 3 years from now, if the player plays in the American League or whatever, you know, your needs might be dramatically different. Oh, sorry, Zach Ewan. Zach, you know, again, is someone that he'll re-enter the draft. You know, he was a player that, you know, we selected, you know, in the first draft. You know, I believe we didn't have a pick in that round. We had multiple picks in the bottom, right the round below. We traded a pick to move up into that round. Again, there was a group of players there that at that time that we wanted to target, and Zach was one of them. And sometimes you have to make some decisions with respect to signing players. Obviously, when you sign a player, you sign him to an entry-level deal. And, you know, again, I don't want to diminish any of his potential of getting drafted, because he can, but it was just our decision, you know, as an organization to not offer him a three-year NHL deal.
That's good, guys.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate it.